Good morning and welcome to worship at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. We are grateful for your presence, those of you who are with us in person, and those of you who are hunkering down on this rainy morning at home. We have just a few announcements this morning. One, the church council is having our meeting after worship today, and so I will not be greeting folks at the red doors. I'll be going directly to that meeting. But I hope that you all have a good week this week. You might have noticed a couple of additions to the prayer list this week. Anna Laura is continuing to struggle with some kidney stone troubles. Carolyn Walmsley had surgery on her wrist after breaking it a couple of weeks ago. Boyd Queen, as some of you have probably seen, is continuing to have trouble now with his kidneys. In addition to still struggling with multiple myeloma. And not listed in the bulletin, because they're always on it, Paul and Carolina. A couple weeks ago, Carolina had the flu, and she developed pneumonia as well. So she's been at Thomasville Hospital for almost a week. Maybe coming home today. I know she wants to be home yesterday, but she is still pretty weak from having been so sick for so long. Paul has been in respite care at Hinkle Hospice House, and they're hoping for him to have a few more days there, even once she gets home, so that she can continue to rest and build up strength. So please hold Paul and Carolina and Pam and Jane in prayer. I have a very, very exciting announcement. Look up at the ceiling here. It's been needing some repair, right? Well, good news. We are going to get the sanctuary repainted. We're going to repair the ceiling and paint that as well. Several years ago, we received a very generous gift from Odell Black, and the Odell Black Committee then, several years ago, had the hope that we could use some of that money to repair the ceiling and repaint the sanctuary. Well, as you know, sometimes things take a while in the church, and so several years later, that is finally going to happen. Thanks to Dean, who got some bids for us, the council has accepted a bid, and in 2 weeks at our semi-annual congregational meeting, we will have you vote on that to approve it, since it is more than 10% of our annual budget, even though it's not a budgeted item. And so we are very excited about that. Tuesday, March 4th, Shrove Tuesday, the day before Ash Wednesday, that afternoon we're having a work day for anyone who can come and help us get everything out of the sanctuary except the pews. And then that Wednesday, Ash Wednesday, we're inviting all of you who can come to a work day that day to get all of the pews out of the sanctuary, because they'll begin painting Thursday, March 6th. What that means is, for a couple of Sundays, we're going to worship in the fellowship hall. We appreciate in advance your grace and patience, as it will look a little bit different. But we will worship in there for a couple of Sundays. We'll also worship in there for Ash Wednesday and a couple of our Wednesday evening worship services. We have decided those first two Wednesdays of Lent, The Wednesday evening meals, we will not have those first two Wednesdays. We'll just have them the remaining three Wednesdays. This will all be in the bulletin. It's in the holly leaf. And of course, if you have any questions, you can reach out to the office and ask. But I want to offer a big thank you to Dean and the property committee, and to Tony, who has served alongside of me and others on the Odell Black Committee. So, I'm very, very excited. You know, we could have done this after Easter and kept Lent, those first couple of weeks, quote, normal, but we really want to have the sanctuary freshly painted and the ceiling repaired for Easter. So, I think it'll be a really special Easter and extra special with that. Okay, a couple things going on this week. I think I've seen Agape is canceled for tomorrow night. Yes? Okay, so no Agape tomorrow night. On Wednesday, the Senior Citizens Group will meet at 10:30 at the office complex. Today is the third Sunday of February, so we'll take up the basket offering. This month, it is going toward the backpack program. So thank you for your generosity to helping feed local children through that program. One final announcement. I'm going to take Tuesday and Wednesday off this week in addition to my Sabbath on Monday. I've got some fatigue and weariness, and I want to get ahead of it before Lent comes. So these next few days, if you have a pastoral care emergency, please reach out to our council president, Andy Beck, and if need be, he'll reach out to me and let me know. All right, we have no birthdays this week, no anniversaries, but we do have two folks. Oh yes, Karen. The fellowship committee is providing some Valentine weekend treats for all of us. So as you leave worship at each entrance, there are some, it looks like some blondies, but I know there are some brownies, including some gluten-free ones. So please make sure that you get one of those as you leave. And thank you to the fellowship committee for always treating us. So there are a couple people remembering their baptism this week, Scott Black and Elisa Summer. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts, may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, Amen. And we have a prayer shawl this morning. You're going to say, oh, it's a little bitty one. That's because it's for a little bitty baby. This is for Lizzie Clark, the latest grandchild in the Clark brood. David and Sam had Lizzie just at the end of January, so she's still a January baby, but she is home. Mom is recovering well. Although mom and dad are a little sleep deprived, but Lizzie is beautiful and growing, and I think in just a few weeks, Neil and Terry are very excited to go down and meet her in person. So let us pray for Lizzie and this blanket. God, we thank you that all of our days, all of our lives are held in your hands. And we give you thanks for the life of Lizzie Clark. We give you thanks that she grew in your heart and love just as she grew in her mother's womb. And we ask that you would bless her all the days of her life, that she would know your love and your care and grace, and that she would grow just like Jesus did, in wisdom and in stature, and in favor with you and all people. As she is wrapped in this blanket, when she gets older, when she holds on to it or it's draped over her lap, we ask that you bless this, that she, when she's wrapped in it and holding it, that she would feel your love and care, and that she would know that she is always loved and cared for. Holly Grove Lutheran Church. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us now prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude. stand as you are able. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God whose steadfast love is everlasting. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. God with us. We confess that we have turned away from those seeking shelter, claiming there is no room when we have plenty. We have made power and wealth our idols, while you show us true glory, a baby in a manger. We have overlooked the shepherds, expecting good news in prettier packaging. Too often, we have valued violence instead of your peace. Turn us from our ways to your ways. Grant us the grace to begin again. Free us from all that keeps us bound, and forgive our sin. Through Jesus Christ, who gives himself for us. Amen. Hear the good news and rejoice. You are God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. You are forgiven in Christ and freed to respond in joy. Amen. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Living God, in Christ you make all things new. Transform the poverty of our nature by the riches of your grace, and in the renewal of our lives, make known your glory. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Brantley, do you want to come sit with me for a children's message? Well, I thought this morning we could talk a couple of minutes about what's going to happen when the sanctuary gets repainted. Because sometimes change can be hard, even if it's just for a couple of weeks. And so I wanted to let you and other children know that even though we will worship in the fellowship hall for a couple weeks, there are still going to be a lot of the same things in there. So when we worship in there, we're going to take the baptismal font and the paschal candle with us. We'll take the altar candles so you can still light those. We'll take the offering plates so you can still help with the offering. We will still have sermons and singing in there. So it'll be a little different because it's not in here, but it'll be really similar too, because that's one of the beautiful things about Lutheran worship services, is that they are very consistent and that we do a lot of the same things every Sunday. Even if the words might be different, they're usually in the same place of the service and they're still a part of that. So I just wanted to let you know that even if you're a little nervous about it being different, that's okay, because sometimes change can be hard. But we just ask God for a little bit of extra help and some extra grace to navigate that, and we'll navigate it together. And there will still be a lot of the same things, and you'll still get to have the same jobs in there for worship that you do in here. Does that sound okay? And remember, if you have any questions, you can just ask me, okay? Will you pray with me? Good morning, God.
Good morning, God.
Thank you for today.
Thank you for our church.
Thank you for our
church.
And thank you for each other.
Thank you for each other.
Thank you for the gift.
Thank you for the gift.
That will help us repaint.
That will help us repaint.
Our beautiful sanctuary.
Help us.
To navigate.
The change for a couple of weeks.
Give us patience. And kindness with each other. We love you, God.
We love you, God.
Amen. All right, are you going to go to Children's Church with Jane, or do you want to stay here? Jane, he wants to go with you. I hope you have some good snacks.
Jeremiah. Thus says the Lord, cursed are those who trust in mere mortals and make mere flesh their strength, whose hearts turn away from the Lord. They shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when relief comes. They shall live in the parched places of the wilderness in an uninhabited salt land. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. They shall be like a tree planted by water, sending out its roots by the stream. It shall not fear when heat comes, and its leaves shall stay green. In the year of drought, it is not anxious, and it does not cease to bear fruit. The heart is devious above all else. It is perverse. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, test the mind and search the heart to give all according to their ways, according to the fruit of their doings. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 6th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus came down with disciples and stood on a level place, with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out from him, and he healed all of them. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you and revile you and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and Mother, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Usually when I read through the four lessons that the lectionary provides for any given Sunday, I almost always immediately know which text I will preach on. Will it be the Old Testament lesson, the Psalm, the New Testament lesson, or the Gospel lesson? I would venture to guess that 90, maybe even 95% of my sermons are on the gospel lesson, the good news of Jesus Christ. But once in a while, one of the other lessons grabs hold of my heart and my mind and my imagination. That's what happened this week. I found myself feeling led to preach on the verses from the prophet Jeremiah. But it was a wrestling match because simultaneously I really wanted to preach on the Beatitudes. Because the Beatitudes are the very heart of God's character. The Beatitudes are Jesus' ministry. The Beatitudes so clearly show us what God's kingdom looks like. So I decided, just preach two sermons on Sunday. So y'all go ahead and get comfortable. Just teasing. I decided that since next Sunday's gospel lesson is a continuation of this sermon on the plain, and you're saying sermon on the plain, in Matthew, Jesus preaches the Beatitudes in a Sermon on the Mount. In Luke, Jesus preaches the Beatitudes in a sermon on a plain, on a level ground. And so since next Sunday's gospel lesson is a continuation of that sermon, I'm going to pair those two up next Sunday, and that's a preview of what is to come. We'll still sing Blessed Are They for our hymn of the day today in response to the gospel lesson and as a reminder of what the kingdom of God looks like and what we are called to as Jesus followers. But for today, let's go back to the Old Testament, to the prophet Jeremiah. If I were to ask you the first sermon you remember, could you do it? I'm not saying the first sermon you ever heard, because I'm sure many of you were little bitty babies. The first sermon you ever remember. Well, for me, that sermon was actually on this passage in Jeremiah. I heard this sermon in college. Remember, I didn't grow up going to church, and so I heard this sermon in college, and the metaphor or word picture of a tree being deeply rooted in God has been a touchstone for me throughout these last 20 plus years of my life. In fact, many of you have noticed before that there is a tree on my pectoral cross. That's one of the reasons why I got this as a gift from my internship congregation. The metaphor of a tree being deeply rooted in God has been a touchstone for me. I thought back countless times on that sermon that I heard one Sunday night. You know, we can live our lives like a shrub in the desert. God gives us that choice. We can do that. Or we can choose to become a deeply rooted tree next to water. I want my life, my relationship with God, to be the latter. For years, I have worked toward being like a tree next to water with a robust and strong root system, sending its roots into the water. Now, we don't spend a lot of time in the book of Jeremiah, so maybe we'll do a little refresh. Jeremiah, the prophet that penned these words and this word picture about 2,600 years ago, was no stranger to difficult circumstances. To say he had a hard life would be an understatement. To say he lived during challenging times would be even more of an understatement. His prophetic career began in Jerusalem, and it ended in exile. Exile in which Jeremiah lost his home and the life he knew, along with many, many others, when Jerusalem was both conquered and destroyed by the Babylonians. Jeremiah and the Israelites were forced to leave the world that they knew. The sad thing is, Jeremiah knew this would happen. Jeremiah saw it all coming, and he preached and he warned against it. But the people didn't listen to the truth of his words, and it still happened. Jeremiah's land and people were conquered, and they were led to captivity in Babylon, into exile. Now, by the time we read Jeremiah's words for today from chapter 17, he's actually preaching a new message. Because by this point, he had acknowledged that exile was the new normal. And he exhorted God's people. How will the people in exile respond to their new normal? In part, the Israelites didn't want exile to be their new normal, and I get it. They were still resisting it and fighting against it. But being the prophet he was, Jeremiah knew that they were going to be in exile for many years. He also knew that their new normal was a marathon and not a sprint. And he wants the Israelites to accept the reality so that they can begin to live more faithfully in it. Right? It's not always easy to remain faithful in times of transition and change. Certainly in exile, when everything they knew was gone. But he wrote, how would the people of God respond? Would they respond as if they lived in a desert? Or would they respond by being like a tree planted in this strange world, but still being like a tree planted next to water? One path is the path of trust and complete dependence on God. The other is not. When we think of trees, or if I were to ask you to draw a picture of a tree, you would probably draw a trunk, maybe some branches and leaves. Or if you're not an artist like me, you just draw a big bushy part of a tree at the top. But we would be forgetting the most important part, the roots of that tree. You see, the most significant part of the tree isn't what we see, it's what we don't see. The roots reaching deep, deep into the earth to find moisture and nutrients. The most important part of the tree, the most important work for that tree, happens under the ground. It happens in the dark, and that work is unseen. Seems to me we heard a sermon not too long ago that talked about how some of God's most powerful work happens in the dark. The same is true for trees. With trees, that important work is unseen, and yes, it happens underground in the dark. But what happens in the dark produces the fruit that we see and experience in the light. That work helps to produce shade to shelter us on sweltering hot summer days. It helps to produce wooden beams that build homes. It helps to produce branches that nests for birds can sit on. And it produces all kinds of delicious fruit that nourish our bodies. But all of this is only possible because of what happens underground, what happens in the darkness. And so let's ask ourselves, what kind of people are we? And what kind of people do we want to be? Are we like a shrub living in the wilderness, parched, finding no relief, unable to withstand drought or storm or heat? Or are we like a tree? Or do we want to be like a tree planted by the water, growing its roots and sending them out to the stream? Both the tree and the shrub endure hard times. Even the tree with a deep root system isn't immune from struggles and challenges. The difference is that because it is so rooted, it doesn't fear when heat comes, and it isn't anxious when there is drought. Because of its root system reaching toward that stream, it will remain green and still produce fruit. Both of these images directly correspond to our relationship with God. They correspond to the depth of relationship and the closeness that we share with God, or the depth or closeness that we don't share with God. Regardless, each dictates what kind of root system we will have. And so I invite you this afternoon, spend some time thinking about this. Courageously and honestly reflect on what kind of relationship you have with God. And think about what your root system looks like. If your roots are deep and are being nourished by God's grace and love, keep leaning into God and keep growing those roots and keep letting them dip into the stream of God's love and grace. And dear trees, if you are in a season of heat or drought, and I know some of you are, rest and be still. You don't need to strive for God's water. Let your roots just rest in the stream of God's love and just be for a while. And as we're courageously and honestly asking ourselves questions, if you think that you are more like that shrub, if you feel maybe uprooted, or if you feel like your root system can't withstand the parched places of life, first of all, don't feel shame. Yes, be honest with yourself and be honest with God, but then come to the font. Remember that you are God's beloved child. Then come to the table and be fed and nourished with forgiveness and love. And after that, intentionally focus on your relationship with God by spending time with God in prayer and spending time in God's word and spending time with God's people, continuing to come and worship by being God's hands and feet in the world. Spend intentional time growing your root system into God's love and care. You know, many, if not all of us, go through life thinking that we are strong and invincible, that we can handle anything and everything that life will throw at us. Thank you very much. Or maybe sometimes we don't even think life will throw anything at us. And as a result, we don't always spend time rooting ourselves in God. And then when the storms of life do come, we suddenly want to have a deep root system to ground us. But the truth is that root systems don't grow overnight. Growing roots and root systems, it takes time in the dark place underground, unseen by the world. You don't start building your roots and root system when the drought comes. You build it before, so that when the heat and drought comes, your roots are already firmly and securely planted by the water, and you can draw from God what you need. Beloved children of God, in the waters of baptism, God adopted you as God's children, even before you understood what a root system was or how difficult life could be. God chose you as God's own. And God loves us and the world so deeply that God sent Jesus into the world to be our living water so that we never have to thirst again. Jesus comes to us not because of anything we do or deserve, but because God loves us. And God's love then frees us to love and trust God with all that we are and all that we have. Today and every day, God is inviting us to be deeply rooted in God. God invites us and longs for us to receive renewal and refreshment from the never-ending well of God's goodness and God's love and God's mercy. Thanks be to God for a love like that. Amen.
Thank you.
Living in hope and trust, let us confess our faith together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. With the Spirit of Christ shining upon us, let us boldly pray for the church, the world, and all of creation. Blessed is your church, transformed by your Spirit. Give us courage to proclaim to all people the promises made true in the death and resurrection of Christ. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Blessed is creation, as earth experiences destruction from harmful practices and climate change, give us courage to help bring about its restoration. Encourage those who work in forestry to be a voice for the hidden places of creation and provide skills for its conservation. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Blessed are the nations. We pray for presidents, prime ministers, and leaders of all nations that they would lovingly and mercifully tend those in their charge. Help them to respond to all who cry out in need. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Blessed are those in need. Give to all facing illness wise and caring doctors, nurses, and therapists. Draw close to those who feel far from you or who are suffering in any way, especially Bill, Paul and Carolina, Bobby and Jana, John, Janine, Rosala, Pam, Joe, Boyd, Carolyn, Anna, our friends and family listed in the bulletin, and those we now name aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. Provide an extra measure of your grace and love. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Blessed is this congregation. Like a tree planted by streams of water, we are nourished by faith in you. Provide courage in times that feel dry, trusting that you sustain us in many ways. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Blessed are those saints who now rest in your peace, especially Warren Bumgarner, friend of Jim and Amy Horn. Through lives of both sorrow and joy, challenge and triumph, they provide witness of faith in all times. May their lives be a witness to the living. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
We entrust our prayers to you, O God, in the sure and certain hope that your promise is revealed among the people. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
I invite you to move around and share the peace of Christ with one another.
Let us pray together. God of grace, your love reaches to the heavens and your abundance to the depths of the sea. Bless what we offer in your service, our gifts, our abilities, and our hearts. Let us overflow with gratitude and generosity now and always. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. By the leading of a star, he was shown forth to all nations. In the waters of the Jordan, you proclaimed him your beloved Son. And in the miracle of water turned to wine, he revealed your glory. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy One, the beginning and the end, the giver of life, blessed are you for the birth of creation. Blessed are you in the darkness and in the light. Blessed are you for your promise to your people. Blessed are you in the prophet's hopes and dreams. Blessed are you for Mary's openness to your will. Blessed are you for your Son Jesus, the Word made flesh. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Let us proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Holy God, we long for your Spirit. Come among us. Bless this meal. May your word take flesh in us. Awaken your people. Fill us with your light. And bring the gift of peace on earth. Amen. Lord, unite us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Come, eat this meal of gladness.
Thank you. Thank you.
stand for the table blessing. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray together. Nourishing God, at this table you have refreshed us with holy gifts of food and drink. Strengthen us for service and send us out to embody your good news of liberation and healing for the sake of the world. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
The Spirit of the Triune God bless you with joy, anoint you with compassion, and send you in love. Amen.
Let's say together our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
Remember the poor.